My dear friends in Christ, today we begin a 9-week sermon series that is titled Meditations in Mark, an easy stroll through a short gospel. This series will follow the lectionary gospel readings in the book of Mark for the next 9 weeks. Our sermon today is based on Mark 3, 1 through 6, and is titled Mercy Fights Religion. In this reading, Mark tells us of a time when Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, and the scribes and the Pharisees began plotting to kill him. Our question then to get us thinking is this: what makes God angry? Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to us this morning through this encounter you had with the man with the withered hand, as recorded by Mark. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. According to tradition, Mark was not an original disciple of Jesus. Rather, he was a follower of one of the original disciples, most likely Peter. According to the early church fathers, Mark is believed to have drawn the content of his gospel from Peter's sermons. It's thought that Mark was in his teens when Jesus was in Jerusalem, and he may have seen and heard Jesus on occasion. After the resurrection, Mark then traveled with the apostle Paul as the Savior's message spread. You may have known that he is also called John Mark. His primary audience was the Gentiles, which is why he explains so many of the Jewish customs in detail. Mark's gospel is a gospel of action. He uses the word immediately many times in this gospel, and he's emphasizing the deeds of Jesus, showing that Jesus is the promised Messiah. The events just before our reading today describe a time when Jesus and his disciples were going through grain fields on the Sabbath, and they began to pluck heads of grain and eat them. Well, when the Pharisees then pointed out that what they were doing was not lawful on the Sabbath, Jesus told them of a time when King David and his men actually entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which certainly was not lawful for them to eat. Then Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is, the law to do no work on the Sabbath was not an end in itself, a box to be checked, but rather it was given for the people's benefit so that they could rest from their work. If you noticed while David was reading the original back in Deuteronomy about this, verse 14 said, "This was given so that the people and the servants and the animals might rest from their work." It was for the benefit of the people. Further, he said that he, Jesus, was Lord of the Sabbath, and as such, he's the one to interpret the law. But of course, the Pharisees did not like that very much, since they were the church leaders of the day who were known for their strict adherence and observance of religious ceremonies and practices, as well as adherence to all the oral laws and traditions that they had come up with. That brings us to our reading for today. Mark says in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them," which is the scribes and Pharisees, "were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath." Then Jesus wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of what he was going to do, so we hear in verses 3 and 4, "Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them," that is the Pharisees, "'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent." They knew that doing negative things, especially killing, was the ultimate transgression of the Sabbath day, so they were silent. This event is also recorded in Matthew and Luke, the healing of the man with the shriveled hand. In Matthew's account of the event, he actually adds that Jesus interjected the example of a sheep who'd fallen into a pit And he says to the Pharisees, wouldn't you take hold of it and lift it out? And he adds, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Then according to Matthew, Jesus answers his own question by saying, therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Unlike the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, Mark emphasizes Jesus' human emotions. And that's evident in what Mark says next in verse 5. He, Jesus, looked around at them, the Pharisees, in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. These certainly are human emotions that Jesus in his humanity showed. Many people today may not imagine that Jesus could get angry. After all, God is love, right? But wouldn't it be more alarming if he didn't get angry at anything that he saw going on in the world? By the way, anger is not a sin, but it can lead to sin. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, Paul says this, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He doesn't say don't be angry. He says don't sin in your anger. To answer our question today about what makes God angry, we see that God is provoked to anger by man's sinful actions toward him and toward others. Yes, God is a loving and caring God, but he's also a God of justice. And he can't ignore sin. But in his mercy, he came as Jesus to take all our sin on himself, pay the price of death for us that we all owe. He still punished sin, but he did it in Jesus. And you remember on the cross when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Many people take exception to the Apostles' Creed where it says he descended into hell. But that's when he descended into hell, when God had completely separated himself from Jesus. And like last week, we talked about the Trinity, and we said if you try to understand it, you're in danger of losing your mind. It's hard to figure out that God could be separate from Jesus. But things like that, we just say, okay. One day, God's anger toward mankind's rejection of his son, Jesus, and their living contrary to his commandments will bring his wrath upon those who have rejected God's merciful solution in Jesus. If they're saying, no thanks, I don't really need Jesus' payment for me, they're on their own. Jesus is angry at the Pharisees, at their hardened hearts that focused on their religious laws rather than on God's mercy. Our sermon today is titled, Mercy Fights Religion. The biblical definition of mercy relates to forgiveness or withholding of punishment when punishment is really deserved. God the Father showed mercy on us when he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to pay the price for our sin, forgiving us and withholding the punishment that we were due because of what Jesus did for us. If Jesus had not responded in righteous anger to the Pharisees, he would have revealed a heart less than merciful, less than righteous. His anger was anything but sinful. He did it out of love for the Pharisees. As we see, his anger was combined with deep distress at the Pharisees' stubborn hearts. He was concerned for them. Because remember, Jesus died for everyone. But not everyone will accept that forgiveness. See, they were not only violating the spiritual sense of the Sabbath, but they were also rejecting him as the Savior. As the Apostle John says in chapter 1, verse 11 of his gospel, he, Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus was angry at their hardened hearts that was keeping them from the truth of who he was and how he had come to forgive them and take even their punishment for them. Then Mark continues, Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. You'll note Jesus did not touch the man's shriveled hand or speak a word of healing. He simply said, "Stretch out your hand." And the man was completely healed. Neither having spoken a word of healing nor having touched the man, Jesus technically could not be accused of violating the Pharisees' unscriptural Sabbath law of no work on the Sabbath. But that fact did not deter them from what they intended to do. It just outraged them even more than ever. And we hear then in verse 6, "Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." Greek scholars tell us that based on the Greek word used, they did not simply want to kill Jesus. They wanted to shame him, to destroy him completely, including his reputation. Not only did they thereby violate the Sabbath commandment, for their hearts were not filled with thoughts of worship, but they also made themselves guilty of breaking the commandment found in Exodus 20:13, "You shall not murder." In desperation, they began making plans with the Herodians. The Herodians were Jews that supported Herod in the Roman government. These were people who the Pharisees would normally have had nothing to do with. But in hating Jesus and plotting his death, they felt they needed the support of those who had secular power. They did the same later when Jesus was tried before Pontius Pilate. We see similar alliances today. Commentators tell us that this reading introduces a new direction that focuses upon open and growing hostility toward Jesus, both from his enemies, as we hear today, and from those close to him, including his family, which Pastor Ben will address next week. We saw that the mercy part of our sermon title relates to forgiveness or withholding punishment. Now, what about religion? The NIV Dictionary of the Bible defines religion as relating to the services, the rituals, and rules that express one's faith in and devotion to a deity. Note, this is rules and regulations that express one's faith, not that you have to do in order to express your faith. The Pharisees were demanding that the people follow the religious rules that they had defined. Jesus was showing them the importance of mercy that he was bringing into the world. As God had told the people through the Old Testament prophet Hosea in chapter 6, verse 6, and as Jesus quoted in Matthew 9:13, God says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Sacrifice is something that man does, whereas mercy is what God does. Sacrifice in the Old Testament was to try to get people to understand how God was going to save them, not that strictly by doing the sacrifice, that would save them. I've heard it said that religion is man's efforts to reach God, whereas Christianity is God's efforts to reach man. In this first easy stroll through a short gospel, Mark seems to be telling us that we are to believe more firmly that we are saved by God's mercy available to us through Jesus than by any religious works that we might do. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:10, "Then our actions to others will reveal Jesus' mercy as he lives in and through us." Let's make sure we understand that showing mercy is not a work that we have to do in order to be saved. It's something we get to do because we are saved. Doesn't that feel much better? Remember, as we hear in Ephesians 2:8 through 10, we aren't saved by good works, but we are saved for good works that God has prepared for us to do before we were even born. Now, the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Amen.